Greg Miles starts the All-Star Mile Morning.
Be with us from 7 a.m. Saturday when we start the build-up to the All-Star Mile and to Sydney's Coolmore Classic.
Greg's got the first word from 7 a.m. talking with the trainers and riders. Then the mighty Melbourne panel from 8.
It's a fairly intense little period of racing, isn't it?
Then at 10:30, Michael Felgate starts race day live from Flemington.
Finally, the most talked about day of the Festival of Racing is here, and we'll be at the centre of it all with our All-Star team. Matt Stewart and Peter Moody, race caller Matty Hill and David Gately, and of course Dean Lester, looking for the brightest star of them all.
We're starting All-Star Mile Day Saturday. RSN 927.
Hey, it's Michael Felgate here, and we have had a huge week on Racing Pulse ahead of the inaugural $5 million All-Star Mile. I've spoken to most of the key players, so let's recap what they had to say about the major race. Adam Trinder, the trainer of Mystic Journey.
The trainer of Mystic Journey, Group 1 winning trainer, Adam Trinder, who joins us on the line. How are you, Adam?
Very well, thank you, gentlemen.
You got used to that title yet, Group 1 winning trainer?
No, probably still a little bit surreal, hasn't sunk in yet, but I'm terribly, terribly proud of it, and more than happy to take the tag.
Adam, it's Lee Jordan here. How are you going?
Very well, thank you, Lee.
Mate, I was just wondering, you're still doing your same routine with the horse, bringing her over on the boat?
Same routine, so she travels Thursday evening, arrives at Tony McAvoy's Friday morning. She's just done a last piece of fast work this morning, lovely and bright and bouncy about herself. So she's come out of her Australian Guineas win in really good order. The more we race her, she's starting to gain a good bit of constitution about her and strengthening out. So a fortnight between runs into the All-Star looks ideal at this stage, 72 hours out.
Well, that was the thing about the win in the Australian Guineas, because on the line it was actually quite soft, wasn't it?
It was. She's a filly that's... She's a little bit precious, and she's quite reserved inside horses, which was our reservation with Barrier 1 in the Australian Guineas. And as you saw, sort of, she kept maintaining up the straight, but when she got her head in front and got a little bit of confidence about herself, she really drew away and was more comfortable in that scenario. So, she ran time and looked to do it easy. Obviously, when you run time, sort of, it's got to dent you in some regard, but thankfully I haven't seen that to any extent 9 days after the assignment. So she presents really well.
What's the difference in the assignment? I mean, it's hard to make a comparison between the three-year-old Guineas with a lot of the spring form not quite stacking up, and then taking on a megastar like Elise and then your Happy Clappers and Hartnells and so on. How much tougher is it going to be this Saturday?
Oh, I think it's going to be terribly tough, to be perfectly honest with you. They're tough, seasoned horses. She's raced against the older horses on three occasions and been fortunate enough to come out on the winning end, but this steps it up to another level. Obviously, Happy Clapper's been bowling along there just behind Winks, which is the best form in Australia. Hartnell's a champion in his own right, which I have nothing but admiration and respect for the horse. He's a horse that I really admire, and Elise's the mare that's sort of there to be the new kid on the block. So it's not going to be an easy assignment by any means. We've got 54 kilos, which I think is something in our favour, but we might need that weight relief.
Your barrier is about to be drawn. We might just bring this up.
Barrier number 16. Thank you, Joel, for the first and last time.
16, what's your reaction to that?
Well, it's not 18 anyway, so hopefully it becomes scenario 12 once the emergencies come out.
That was that dirty rotten Joel Selwood who did that.
You followed the cats?
I have words with him.
So what is it, I suppose it's going through your mind right now, if you're drawn the outside or one of the outside barriers, what do you do from the start, do you think?
So we rode her in a more tactical position there in the Australian Guineas from barrier 1. Probably had us slightly out of a comfort zone, to be perfectly honest with you. We needed to utilise that barrier so that we didn't get shuffled too far back along the fence. So I would suggest that it's going to be a high-tempo race with the other three-year-old in it. Happy Clap has been rolling forward, so they'll go a good gallop and string out. So she would sort of settle down midfield, obviously towards the outside a little bit there, and as I just mentioned earlier, she's quite restricted inside horses, so she's definitely going to get galloping room, but obviously need right tempo and right luck in running from that barrier.
Elise's just drawn barrier 12, so she's sort of out in your little group out there, but drawn a bit more favourably than you there, Trins.
Hopefully Dharma can find her back and we can track her into the race somewhere. That'd be an ideal situation, but it is what it is. That's the barrier that's been presented to us. She's won from inside draws. She's won from outside draws. I think with the dynamics of Flemington, we saw her so good there in the Australian Guineas. There's a lovely long run in. So there's no need to be in a rush when she's won her races. She's been really dominant the last furlong and wheeled off a nice sectional. So she'll probably just float around with the race and look to be edging out at the top of the running once they've sort of got 100 metres into the straight and she's still got 500 metres to run on then, and hopefully she's good enough.
Will this be the end of her autumn campaign, or have you still got designs on Sydney?
So she's got entries for Sydney. She's in the Oaks and the Coolmore Legacy up there over the mile. But do just have to work back and see where she's at. We'd love to have her at the Moonee Valley in October over a mile and a quarter. So I do just have to sit down and work out the timing of things. She'll obviously need a good 3 to 4 runs leading into that event. And just off the back of the spring and autumn came around really quickly. So she only had 3 weeks off in between the spring and the autumn. I'd like to find a 6 to 8 week window there just to let her down. So this could be the end of the autumn preparation. If it's not, she'll only have one more.
And is the ultimate goal, are you looking that far ahead to a possible Cox Plate start in the spring?
So that's where we'd love to end up if a form warrants it. Just as a filly, she's been really good around Moonee Valley. Hasn't been out to a mile and a quarter, but we trust that she'll be fine over that sort of journey. So that would be our hope if she's in good enough form. Sort of been in our mindset since she won the Group 2 there on Cox Plate Day last year. I thought I'd love to be back here with next year with her. So we're going to try.
And there's also the McKinnon Stakes on final day over 2,000 metres, a Group 1 race worth $3 million that might suit you as well.
Exactly right. She's so good at Flemington and the VRC look after her so well as well.
Adam, it's a great story. You've done a remarkable job with her and we can't wait to see her at Flemington at the All-Star Mile. You've drawn barrier 16, but a few of the other nice runners have drawn wide so far as well. Elise gate 12, Amphitrite gate 14. Grunt has drawn 15 as well so far with the barrier draw. So it may not be as bad as what it sounded. Best of luck, mate. We will speak to you on Saturday morning.
Jack Martin, who rides Mossendale. Great to have live in the studio right now, young gun apprentice Jack Martin, who is getting ready for the biggest day of his career on Saturday, and that is a ride in the $5 million All-Star Mile. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Michael.
Good to see you in here. Are you excited, nervous? What's the feeling heading towards Saturday?
Very excited. It's fine. It's been a long, long haul. It's taken a long couple of weeks and months for the voting and the fields to come out, but it's getting closer to the final day.
Well, and you and your family, I believe, were instrumental in ensuring that Mossendale received enough votes to get into the All-Star Mile. What did your family do?
Yeah, it was a big, big team effort from all the owners and my family and friends. There was a heap of flyers put out, heap of spread the words on social media and different outlets and the local community, the local footy clubs and schools and anyone that had any contact with us sort of got the heads up of who to vote for, and to say thanks very much to my family and brothers and sisters and mates for all the support and all the votes they threw in.
Well, it was a very well coordinated campaign because he garnered a lot of votes. And what was the excitement like when the final field was announced and he was officially in?
Well, I was very nervous because when we were in the top 3 or 4 for most of the voting until the last couple of days. And when the blackout came out, we were 9th or 10th. And I thought, I was telling my mum and dad, I said, I'm not sure how we're going to go here. Like, he's done a good job to get this many votes. We might have peaked on our run. And then when the voting started, I was listening on RSN on the way to the races, and Balfe's Choice was the first number one voter, and I thought, oh no, we're gone here, unfortunately. I thought, if he's come out and polled that many votes, we might have been out. But big thanks to all the owners and I think the Gippsland community, the Gallagher boys got a heap of people to rally behind it, and the horse deserves it. I think he's been a great improver. He's gone through the grades and it's just a great thrill to be involved.
You're right in what you say about the horse. He has been such an honest galloper. He's not up to Group 1 standard. He's going to get a big chance to race against the best on Saturday, but he's a horse you'd love to own. He's had 14 wins from 32 starts. He's won a great amount of prize money for his connections, and you have a great connection with him, because I think you've had something like 11 rides for 7 wins.
Yeah, I've never been out of the first four on him, which is a massive achievement. I was lucky to grab the ride on him in a ratings race at Sale years ago, and I remember Mick Kent had a $1.50 pop in the race, and I thought it was called Data Point, and we ended up leading the race, and he fought on and won that, and got on him a couple of starts later up in Sydney in a big race, and we deheated, and yeah, the journey started there, and we've just had a great affiliation, and it's just the one horse. Every time I've sat on him, we've drawn the right gate, we've landed in the right spot, and have had a great outcome.
Do you have horses that you find run better for you, or you are more in tune with?
Oh, certainly he has. Yeah. I think there's a few horses that, yeah, you don't get along with. More so at track work, sometimes, you know, you find the ones that go a bit smoother for you and a bit better, but I've never ridden a horse race day that every time, like, the viewers and the punters might have thought he's gone at some stages. Or like when I rode him in the Tokyo Cup, like he was off the bridle from 1100 out, but I always knew that he was still had the motors underneath and he was always going to take me to the line. So I haven't really, not off the top of my head, ridden a horse race day that I've got on with so well.
Are you looking forward to Saturday? The jockey's room, you're going to be rubbing shoulders with Hugh Bowman, the rider of Winx. William Buick coming over, one of the best jockeys in Europe, will be on Hartnell. And you're going to be there, smack bang in the middle of them.
Yeah, it's just so exciting. It's it's not a group race, but it's worth $5 million, the richest mile race in the world on turf. And it's a bit surreal, really. I still claim two in town. Mm. And I couldn't get a ride today at Sandown, so but to have a ride in a $5 million race on Saturday, it's a bit surreal, to be honest.
And as you said before, you must be very thankful to the owners and the Galagotis boys who are sticking with you.
Yeah, I could not thank them enough. They've been so loyal. As I sort of stated, when I won the Craven Plate on him up in Sydney, and that was Everest Day, and like, you know, Kieran McAvoy was there, Ben Malin, any of the top, you know, 20 jocks in Australia were up there riding. And When a horse is in a race that you own worth half a million dollars, I would have been inclined to choose the likes of Damien Oliver or any of those type of boys. But the facts are on the table. Like, I've got a great record on the horse, and we've gelled and bonded from day one. And now it's I was just lucky, happy enough to reward him with the win.
What's it like after a race like that, especially in Sydney, when you come back into the jockeys' rooms? Do the boys get around you, congratulate you? Big moment in your career?
Yeah, they did, because they knew it was sort of my first ever group winner. They, every one of them sort of gave me a pat on the back or shook my hand, and even out, like, just after the line, you know, you hear Kieran McAvoy yell out, "Good on you, Jack," and that type of thing. So it was, you couldn't wipe the smile off my face that day. But all the jockeys, whenever anyone rides a big winner, a group one, all that type of thing, they always get around them and give them a pat on the back and congratulate them as much as they'd love to be in their position.
Have you dared to dream about Saturday? Have you dared to dream of a Stephen Bradbury moment or something? Somehow you win the $5 million All-Star Mile?
Oh, a few of you mates, like they've always said, like, you've used Stephen Bradbury or even Prince of Penzance. You've got to be in it to win it. Like, you know, it's, there's been a bit of backlash about the lesser horses in the race and that type of thing, but things can go wrong. It's a race, and horses can not step from the barriers or go amiss and that type of thing. And I know, like, the horse Mossendale, he was, the punters and the public were a bit disappointed after his first up run in the All, but if you go back through his form, he got beaten a similar distance first up in benchmark 80 grade or 90 grade last preparation. So he's trialled well since. He's 4 from 4 unbeaten second up. And yeah, look, we're going to need a lot of luck. I wish the race was run in Sydney this Saturday, because they've got about 30 rain. Or 40 mils coming. Mm. So I wish that turned down this way. But we've got to deal with the cars we get dealt with. And it's always a good, beautiful track at Flemington. So hopefully we've drawn the right gate.
You've drawn a nice gate. So it's early doors, but where do you envisage you'll be in the run?
Well, the speed is sort of, I haven't had a great deal of look at the form, but, you know, the likes of Hawkshot and a few of the Happy Club, a few of the forward horses are sort of drawn inside of me, so he's always sort of takes up a forward position over a mile. He showed good gate speed in his trial the other day, so I'm sure he won't be far, you know, within 2 or 3 lengths of the lead, and hopefully get a beautiful cart through by the first couple in the race, and hopefully he can be finishing home late.
And no doubt you're going to have a big crew there cheering you on Saturday.
Yeah, there's going to be a massive crew, all the St. Bernard's boys, and I've got about 12, 13, 14 cousins and all their mum and dads will be coming, and my nan and pa, they'll be there. They're diehard supporters of me. They're always there every Friday night and Saturdays, which is great. So there'll be a lot of people in the pink and purple.
Paddy Webster, the trainer of Happy Clapper. You on your way down to Melbourne?
Yes, we are.
Have you got the Clapper in tow?
No, the Clapper's, he went first class. I'm going second class.
Very nice. That's what they say. You should keep your horses a lot better than what you are yourself. And when he's got $5.6 million in the bank, I think that's a pretty good idea. How is he?
No, he's fantastic. At this present time, you know, we're very, very happy with him. He's actually been set for the race. His last run was a little bit hard, but he's got over that okay. So we're in a good place at the moment.
Now, apologies, I've just taken $1 million off him. He's got six
yeah,
and a half
yeah,
million.
Yeah, 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 but I've still got it in my kick. Don't worry about that. You haven't took anything.
Now, he seems to have been racing in, if not as good, just as good as he has been. That last start against Winx was simply phenomenal. Did you even get a few heart flutters halfway down the straight?
Not down the straight. I did at the 600 when Blake, or the 700, and Blake pushed the pedal, but I could see Huey's elbows. He did panic a little bit, but it was only for a matter of strides, and then she went up a gear, and then he just sat back on her, and he had Clapper covered all the way. There was never any threat of him knocking her off.
Well, he's been the bridesmaid to her so many times, but that type of run could break a horse's heart. How has Happy Clapper come through it?
Oh, I think he's used to it. That was his fifth second to it. So, as you say, it doesn't seem to affect him. Like, he runs second to her, but she's a freak. Best horse in the world and a freak, but he seems to back up okay, and he goes up the next level, so we're, you know, really happy with him.
It's hard to say he's going better than when he's won a Doncaster or an Epsom, but do you think he's in that vein of form?
Oh, at the moment he is, yeah, because I think the two runs show that. Look, you know, this race is at Randwick tomorrow. He probably on Saturday, I mean, he'd probably be a $2.50, $3 chance. So it's the only thing with travelling him. The creature's a habit, and he likes to be where he is at home and everything. But you know, Ainsley Fox, who looks after him, and that, she's happy with the way he travelled down. So we'll press on the Saturday and hope we can get amongst the cash.
Well, that does look to be the only question mark in his form, is that he's had five goes in Melbourne, and the best he's done is finishing fifth in the Maccabi Diva behind Grunt. It's fair to say he hasn't been the same horse down here. How much of that is a concern for you?
Well, he's only had three goes. And, oh, sorry, we're counting the Cox Place. He runs second in an Emirates, but that was the end of a prep.
And he then did, too. He did run second in an Emirates, yep.
Last time he ran fifth, but he got a really bad check at the 200. He actually clipped the heels of one when Rawilla come across. He got 12 metres, and then he bled, too. So he also only finished two. I think he finished 2.5 lengths from the winner. So if you take them two runs, you've got to take Mooney Valley away and Caulfield. He just wasn't happy. But if you take his Flemington runs, they've been good.
Well, he loves the open spaces at Randwick, yes. So no concerns for you. You think we'll see the real Sydney star Happy Clapper on Saturday?
Well, I hope you do. Oh, look, we're very happy with him at the moment. It, as I said, that run took a little bit out of him, the last run, but I was allowed to do exactly the same work leading into this race as what I did after him running second weeks and leading into the other mile to the second. So, you know, not very often trainers can do that after a run because they don't leave a bit of feed or something goes wrong, but I've been able to do exactly the same. So we're going into this race exactly the same as what we've done running second to Winx last start from a trainer's viewpoint.
Gee, it looks like he's drawn a perfect barrier as well. He'll jump from gate seven. Where would you like to see him in the run?
Probably, as all trainers like to see the horses, probably running fourth, two out.
Well, he led last day. The one concern might be for a few trainers, and you drawing out, it may well be an advantage, is that there's a clear class differential in this race. We've got the A-graders and we've got the also-rans who have got in through the vote. Are you worried that there might be a few speed humps coming into the straight?
I think all trainers will be a little bit worried about that, but I'm not taking anything away from the other connections and trainers. Look, you know, that's a good thing about this race. Look at the hype about it. Look at the people involved. So I'm not going to actually say they speed up. So I just hope they don't some of them don't find an extra few lengths and use clappers to speed up. I hope he don't get overs. But having said all that, look, you know, he showed he's got the speed last time, so you've got Blake Shin on, and there'll be no instructions there. So we'll be very positive in the first 100, and then we'll work it out from there. But we'll be very positive in the first 100 metres, and so we'll be thereabouts.
Hugh Bowman has stated that he sees Happy Clapper as the main danger. He doesn't concern himself with the three-year-old Mystic Journey. Who do you see as the one to beat?
Oh, no, I'm one of them old time blokes. I see them all as ones to beat. I don't isolate one. You know, it's a race day. It's a $5 million race. You're out there and they're all there trying. They're all there doing their best. So, you know, you see things pop out of the ground. The only thing levels it up even more, Clapper's way, and Hartnell, well, I love Hartnell, I've got to say that. He's a beautiful horse, isn't he? And Tough Buggy, you know, won the Epsom Tank weight. They're real tough weight for age horses, you know? And I remember Robbie Lang was stopping with me once, and I said to him, what makes a good weight for age horse? He said, a big bastard like that. And Clapper was walking past him, and I think he's right. That's, you know, they're old warriors, and they get out there and they know, they cop bumps, they cop everything, but they're old warriors, and you know, Hartnells and the Clappers, they're there to be beaten, but you got to beat them.
Yeah, they are two of the greats, and they're both 8 years of age, rising nine. How much longer will we get to see the Clapper?
Oh, to about 12, I hope. look, all going well, I reckon I can have him here again. You know, I reckon I can have him in the same uniform as next year as what I have this year. Because he's been very, very well looked after. And why shouldn't he be? And he'll be very well looked after he races. But no, I can't see him not being around next year, barring anything unforeseen.
Well, we would love to see that. He's got a cult following. And you mentioned this race. It's a new race, and it's got a couple of really nice elements, including the fan base. And the fan that has drawn Happy Clapper is a former English teacher. I think she's in her 60s, and she'll be heading to Flemington on Saturday. And if Happy Clapper can win, she'll pocket $250,000.
Do you hope she's a good sling? I hope something comes away for the old trainer.
You'll be talking her into a horse, wouldn't you?
No. Just a bit of cash, I reckon. I'll clear the air a bit.
Well, we wish you and her all the best. Pat, it'll be great to see you in Melbourne with the superstar Happy Clapper. Good luck in the inaugural All-Star Mile.
You can keep talking if you mind, because my wife's doing the windows in the car.
Now you're at the United Servo in Norbury, aren't you?
Yeah. She's doing a good job. She filled it up, and now she's doing the windows. God love her.
Well,
thank you, guys.
Good on you, Pat.
Bless you. Thank you.
Blake Shin, the jockey of Happy Clapper. You and your old mate Happy Clapper tomorrow. One of the hardest to beat in the All Star Mile. Just a quick word on what you thought of his run last start. You rode a beautiful race, and at one stage, did you think you were half a chance to beat the mighty mare?
It's hard to think when you're racing against Winx that you're going to that you're going to beat her. But I knew after about 400 metres when I was able to pretty much run the race to suit myself, I was going to be hard to beat, because I knew I was going to run a strong half mile home and make it a test for Winx. I know Happy Clapper, you know, he's one of the best galopers in Australia, and he can run strong sectionals. So, you know, I let him improve from the 900, and you know, he pretty much did that, you know, himself. And I felt at the 600, geez. Winx, I don't know where she is, but she's going to want to be good to beat us. But, you know, she's a world champion, and you know, she remains a world champion. And Happy Clapper, you know, he lost no admirers. He put up a great fight.
What goes through your mind when you see the shadow go past you?
It's pretty deflating, really. You know, as good as it is to run second behind Winx, it's when you put your heart and soul into, you know, into everything. You know, we went down fighting. We left nothing for chance on in the Chippy Norton, and you know, Winx just come past us and Hugh, basically, when I seen him, he was motionless. So, and we, Happy Clapper and I, we were just chugging along, doing our best. So it was deflating, but, you know, running second to the greatest horse, you know, possibly ever, it's still a great feat in itself.
Well, Happy Clapper's a remarkable galloper in his own right, and it would be another chapter in his brilliant career if he could win tomorrow. No doubt you've had a look at the field. You're happy with the barrier. Where do you think you'll be in the run?
Look, I'm very happy with the barrier, as opposed to some of my other rivals, like Elise and Mystic Journey and Amphitrite. I think it's going to be interesting how the race pans out in the first couple of hundred metres. Obviously, you know, you've got Hawkshot, which is destined to probably lead the race like he has done in his past few starts. And then, you know, I'll be forward-ish, and it's just a matter of horses like Moss and Dale, Material Man to a lesser extent. I suspect Damien Oliver's got a decision to make on Grunt, what he's going to do. So he could push forward from a wide gate. I'm in the mix there. I'll just have to play it by ear and assess the speed and my opposition in the first, you know, 200 metres and try and work out the best place for Happy Clapper to be positioned.
Have you been able to get a handle on who you think is the horse to beat?
Look, I think there's a number of chances. Look, Hartnell drawing one, I can see him just laying up behind the leaders and getting every conceivable chance from that draw. You know, I respect Hawkshot as a horse. I think he's a quality three-year-old, and I think he deserves his place in the race. And, you know, if it's... And Elise, obviously, you know, she's a superstar. I'm well on her in Sydney. And you know, she's drawn a reasonable gate in 12, and if she can get free deep with cover and blend into the race, she'll be extremely hard to beat. But, you know, Amphitrite, Mr. Journey, you know, and to a lesser extent, Grunt, if he turns up, he had one run with 61. If he turns up, he's had a victory over Happy Clapper. I think it's in the Maccabi Diva, so, and an emphatic victory. So I respect him as well.
It's going to be a cracking race, Blake, and we wish you all the best on the Clapper. Good luck. We'll see you out at Flemington tomorrow.
Thanks, mate. Pleasure.
Simon Price will be riding Balfe's Choice. Tell you what, it'd be positive. South Australia wins the All-Star Mile. Speaking of cash injections, it would be a pretty good one for you as well. Balfe's Choice in the All-Star Mile. Matty Stewart's going to come in a little later and give us his top five stories, and Balfe's Choice is one of those, because for Ryan Balfour, you've had a long family connection with his old man, and this horse is named after his father. Gee, it would be a fairy tale, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah. Rode Balfe in Singapore, had a great relationship with him, and then Ryan's obviously taken over, and I'm giving him a hand, and we work well together, and I've done a fair bit on Bouse, and we sort of, after his last run, he's gone for a little freshen up, and we've applied the blinkers, and it was a great, the race has created some interest, and, you know, for the South Aussie horse to actually get the most votes.
Top the voting. Yeah,
yeah. I think he would have done well, and then, you know, there's a couple of people with TV shows over there that... obviously have a large following, that, and they follow the races and are involved with horses. So, and I think that really got his votes up. And but, you know, on his day, he's won a Balaclava Cup, Seymour Cup. If he can recapture that, well, you know, there's some good horses in it, but, you know, he won't disgrace himself.
Well, he's already been a great money spinner for Connections. He only cost $20,000 at the Adelaide Magic Millions, and he's won in excess of $380,000 now. So
yeah, well, hopefully,
and
we
another
can boost 90, that up a little
90
bit.
Minimum yeah. jumps yeah, in
well,
on Saturday.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, you know, like, you know, when you look at it, and you know, obviously Happy Clapper, he'll be glad Winks isn't in it. So hopefully, and Hartnell, there's some good horses in it, and we'd love to be competitive, and we're going out there sort of as if we're
You've
a chance.
Drawn a nice barrier, haven't you?
Yeah, thank you, Olivia Rogers, for doing that. No, barrier three, it, you know, he's led in the Balaclava Cup and Seymour Cup, he was sitting fourth, I think. So hopefully from that gate it allows us to be a little positive on him and, get him get him sort of encouraging him and hopefully he can bring his best.
30 years in the saddle, what have been your biggest wins?
I won the Oaks back in SA twice and Singapore Gold Cup when I was over there, and they're probably the three biggest. Yeah, I've run second in lots of Group 1s and things like that, so, Sydney, Melbourne, so I'm familiar with Flemington and... and the other riders, so I'm not too perturbed. It's just the prize money is one thing, but you're up against the same riders, and I have respect for them, and hopefully they got respect for me, and it'll be a good race.
Yeah, well, it is one of the great stories. Of course, Balfe's Choice, named after David Balfe, who passed away in 2014, who you had such a great association with. Will you have any words of advice for the old man as he's legged aboard in the All Star Mile?
Nah, I'll leave it up to him. He knows what he's doing, so he's got the experience. So, I'll let him sort it out, and, yeah, hopefully he gets a nice run and see what he can do.
Now, when you get to the track as a jockey, would you be trying to cut his lunch and steal rides from underneath him?
Definitely.
What we love.
He'll be saying they got a claim on them all, so.
Exactly right. And James Cummings, the trainer of Elise and also Hartnell. Can't wait to see you and Elise and Hartnell at Flemington tomorrow. How are they?
Look, they're burning along beautifully, and I think we've got them right where we want them, to have them at their best for this inaugural running of the All-Star Mile.
Well, it's been a big plan from the Blue Army, because I remember you saying you sat down and worked out which horses you wanted to target, who you think would gain the most votes, and also give you the best chance of winning the race, and you've ended up with the two, Hartnell and Elise. Are you happy with Elise drawing out in Barrier 12? She'll come in if there's a couple of scratchings.
Yeah, I spoke to Hugh Bowman about her yesterday, and we both quite like the way she's going to be able to blend into the race. That should work. I think it will work out well for her.
And Hartnell appears to have drawn beautifully as well down on the inside. Is there any concern with him that if he gets cluttered up around a few of the runners who are the voters' picks that aren't as well as performed as the others, that he may strike a bit of traffic?
I think that if there's enough pressure in the race, then that won't become too much of a problem for us.
When does Willie Bewitt come out?
He arrives today, and he'll spend the evening in Melbourne, and he'll be ready to go tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, looking forward to seeing him. Has that always been the plan, to bring him out for this race?
Well, I'd say that we had to get the horses into the race first, and of course Hartnell was grateful that he was a wild card entry. But I think it's capable of becoming an international event, so it's good for us that we've got the international experience of Willie Buick, who's just riding phenomenally well in group races and in group ones these past few seasons. He's a good, very good pickup for us in that race.
Yeah, he certainly is. It's a intriguing race. We've got Mystic Journey, the three-year-old who's on the improvement and is a great winner in the Guineas. And then we've got the bona fide Group 1 stars that you've got as well, and Happy Clapper. Now, Hugh Bowman came out and said he thinks Happy Clapper's the one to beat. Who do you think is the one to beat?
Yeah, I'd say Hugh's probably got a good handle on that horse, considering he had the gun him down from a very close vantage point riding Winks against in the last two starts. In a race of this magnitude, I wouldn't be surprised to see horses producing big performances that they haven't before. And so I'd be respectful of the strength of the weight for age contest that's about to unfold.
Mark, it's got a bit of a gap between your two, Elise and Hartnell. Do you think there's that much difference between the two's chances tomorrow?
One thing about Hartnell is that he's now the veteran, and he has been in plenty of tough fights. And there's something to be said for that. But Elise is on a winning streak, and she couldn't have been more impressive out-muscling her opposition from a difficult position in the futurity. It should prove to be a very good lead-up to this race. So I think we've got great respect for both of our entrants. And, I must say, I'm really impressed with the team that we've put. That to have them, to have two-thirds of our nominees into the race, having sort of, as you said, picked out a program and come up with a plan to get these horses into this first concept race, which we were supporting. It was a really good effort, and I'm just really pleased to get them there in such good shape.
James, good luck over the weekend. We'll see you at Flemington tomorrow with two red-hot chances in the inaugural All-Star Mile.
Thanks, Michael.
And let's get the latest now on the All-Star Mile with Nick Quinn from the TAB.
Thanks, Michael. And as it stands, Elise currently heads the market for the inaugural All-Star Mile, a $3.60 favourite. Mystic Journey has been popular in the last couple of days, $4.60 into $4. And TAB's chief media officer, Trent Langscale, reporting a bet of $20,000 on Mystic Journey running a place at odds of $1.60. Happy Clapper's a $4.80 chance. Hartnell, a veteran, he's at $10. Hawkshot, $11. Amphitrite at $12 with Le Romain. Grunt's been picked at bigger odds, 21 into 16, but it's going to be an absolute cracker out at Flemington. And Elise, favourite to take out the inaugural All-Star Mile.
Thanks for tuning in to our comprehensive preview of the All-Star Mile. To catch up with all the latest news, make sure you head to rsn.net.au and keep it locked on RSN tomorrow for our race day preview. We're live from the track from 10:30, speaking to all the major connections. And then it's the live call of the All-Star Mile from Flemington at 10 past 5 on RSN 927, the home of the All-Star Mile. I'll see you back on Monday at 8:30 on Racing Pulse.